Natural Resources is open. I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 165. And Ms. McConnell, if you wouldn't mind. Did I get the right number here? Yeah, I did. Okay. You know, we're just going to do a public hearing this morning, but what I would like if you... we've got a couple people to testify.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's start with you.
Good morning. My name is Vicki McConnell, and I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, and I also sit as an ex officio member on the Board of Geologist Examiners. And we're here today to give testimony on Senate Bill 165, and I believe there's a little bit of extra testimony, written testimony, that we are submitting. And I have with me today two of our board members, both the chair and the vice chair of the board, and they've expressed interest in presenting the testimony this morning. And we're here to answer any questions, any of us, for specifics on that.
And if you don't mind, as you give your testimony, just give us a very brief recap of, since it's been a long time since we've heard the bill, and I think there's an amendment. If you want to talk about the amendment, that would be great.
Thank you, Chair Avakian. Steve Taylor, Vice Chair of the Board of Geologist Examiners. And just to summarize the changes that we have proposed, we are looking to modify the language in our statute to address some weaknesses that we found over time. We are also asking for language that provides immunization rights from civil or administrative agency action for board members, staffs, and volunteer reviewers. We're also trying to improve the process for reissuing registrations to revoked registrants. And we are also asking to raise the civil penalty. We have modified our original, from our original Senate bill, we now have a dash one amendment to raise that civil penalty to $5,000 per violation. And that is generally a summary of where we're at with our modifications and what we're trying to accomplish.
Hi, good morning. I'm Eileen Webb, chair of the board, and I am here for the same reason to answer any questions you might have as a follow-up for previous testimony.
Is that it, Ms. McConnell?
Chair Avakian and board members, I believe so. I think that it is important to stress that this board, as with many of the semi-independent boards that oversee either registration or license of professionals in the state, and in this case looking at the professional practice of geologists and geotech engineers, you learn how you can be effective in your enforcement activities as you go through the process of dealing with compliance or complaints. And in most cases, and what you have in front of you are some of the factual information on how many compliance cases do we have over the last several years, how many of those cases actually go to some type of revocation or civil penalty. And what we really want to stress is we try to be very proactive. We try to get out there and work with our registrants through continuing education with them through newsletters and information. And it's really not in those many cases that we have to bring folks in and really take a hard line with them. In most cases, you bring people in, you talk to them about what the issues are, and people want to be professional and they want to run their business. And so, and as you will see, we have had very few cases where we've actually had to revocation. But when it happens, it happens. And we want to feel that we are being fair and operating safely, making sure that the professional practice remains professional and safe.
Very good. Thanks. Committee, if we bring the bill back up, we'll be going straight to a work session at another time. So if you've got questions now, which means that they may not be back to testify. So if you have questions now, would be the time. You're just reading for leisure, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I am just trying to figure out what the two statutes that are being repealed do. They're not listed in the bill. It just says they're repealing two statutes.
All right.
I'm trying to figure out which ones would be repealing.
Do you know?
He didn't actually ask you a question, so no need unless you want to say something.
I don't think we have the information. So.
All right. With that, then, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 165.
Thank you.
Thank you for being down here this morning. I'm going to go to a work session at 1:34 as long as you're okay with that. Open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 134. We have an amendment. Thank you. Yeah, please do.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 134 authorizes the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board to inspect certain premises and order examinations during the course of an investigation of an applicant or licensee. There is an amendment which would require that there be evidence of noncompliance before the board can order a physical, mental, or competency examination. We have received a letter from the Department of Justice in support of 134. There is a reference to an amendment that actually isn't before the committee, so I don't think they were referring to the amendment that was brought by the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board.
John Betts and Lori Mackinnon. Ms. Mackinnon, why don't you go ahead as soon as you're ready? And I want to clarify, too. The dash ones came from you. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Well, we got a brief recap, but why don't you do the same a little bit and then talk about the purpose for the dash ones.
Good morning, Senator Bakken and members. For the record, I'm Lori Mackinnon, Director of the Veterinary Examining Board. We're back here with the Dash 1 amendments, which clarify that facilities inspections will be done only in the context of a complaint of a violation of our rules. This is an amendment that was requested by OVMA, and we don't have any problem with it, and so we're back here. To recap, what the bill does is basically gives us authority to require a licensee who is suspected of incompetence or impairment to undergo a practice evaluation, and that could be anything from a physical exam to determine whether the person is physically capable of doing such things as fine motor skill surgeries. It could be a test to determine whether the individual is chemically impaired or with alcohol or drugs. It could be a determination of a person's mental capability to practice safely. Any one of those situations have come before us in the past, and we're currently dealing with two complaints that, because of our lack of authority to compel the licensee to undergo an examination, two of these licensees continue to practice without the board being able to determine whether they're safe to do so. And in one case, this is in spite of a prior court-martial for sexual improprieties with a minor, and with current charges in Washington County. Even with those, that type of evidence is not sufficient for us to direct this licensee to undergo a psychiatric examination to make sure that either his vulnerable clients or the young employees that veterinarians often employ, kennel help, usually young women, we don't have any assurance that this individual is capable of practicing safely. Senate Bill 134 would give us this assurance. We currently have the authority to discipline a licensee who refuses to undergo a competency evaluation, and that was given to us in the last session brought forward by OVMA. Unfortunately, there was a flaw in that it didn't give us the authority initially to direct the licensee to undergo the evaluation.
Mr. Betts.
Morning, Senator Avakian and members of the committee. I'll read my statement, if that's okay. But I'm here as a practicing veterinarian and a former board member and chairman, and a witness to the fact that incompetence does incur in my profession. And I ask that you vote to approve passage of Senate Bill 134-1 without further amendments. During my time on the board, which has been 9 years, I've seen frustrating effects of not having the authority to determine whether a veterinarian should continue to practice. Most other health regulatory boards already have the authority sought through this bill. It's not unique, and it is a logical and reasonable tool for protecting the animal-owning public from the incompetence or dangerous practitioners. The amendment proposed by the Oregon State Bar is unnecessary and will inhibit the board's ability to do its job. There's no evidence of abuse of this authority in the hands of agencies that currently have it, and in almost 10 years on the board, I have observed the board members take their job as judges of their peers very seriously and do not take action capriciously. These amendments appear to be nothing more than an opportunity to get lawyers involved before they need to be. It will cost licensees more money and cost the board anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 for additional hearings. We have seen contested case hearings drag on for months and even years. That a potentially harmful practitioner could continue to practice veterinary medicine while impaired in some way is simply wrong. As a practicing veterinarian and as a board member, I have seen situations involving veterinarians whose competence is below minimum standards for our profession. Our profession is highly respected and trusted by the public. That's why I gave you the one handout about the Gallup poll so you could see where we do stand as far as the public is concerned. We have an obligation to identify bad practitioners and either correct the problem or stop them from practicing. I'd like to interject at this time. Our goal has always been in the last 10 years on the board to correct a problem. We try to correct problems before we get into major discipline. Senate Bill 134 merely gives us what most other regulatory boards already have, a reasonable ability to deal with the bad apples in our profession. I urge you to adopt -1 amendments and only -1 amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Betts. Committee, Mr. Betts mentioned potential amendments recommended by the Oregon State Bar. They had made some recommendations. The recommendations were not supported by the Department of Justice. I didn't see great value in them either. I don't think they ever really even made it to an amendment form. And so those aren't before us today. Only the dash ones are. Committee, any questions?
Yes,
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. You mentioned a case of a Washington County veterinarian who is under charges for something. If you have complaints currently without this bill about his practice of veterinary medicine, do you have the authority to go in and investigate? And if there are wrongdoings with his practice of veterinary medicine, do you have the ability to go in and take his license away?
Senator Vakian and Senator Beyer, first of all, I misspoke. It's not Washington County. It's in Washington, in Grays County.
Okay.
However, his practice is in Oregon. And I think I have to preface my answer by saying that we do have authority to investigate complaints. And when we receive a complaint, we have a process of evaluating it. The first step is to determine whether or not it's something that relates to the rules that govern veterinarians. If it does, then we go to the next step and try to gather some evidence about to verify it, whether to find out whether it's credible. That we don't have in this current situation. We have investigated the complaint and found that it appears to be valid based on the history, based on the fact that the district attorney is pressing forward with it. It's been going on for 2 years, and this individual has fired his first lawyers and a second lawyer. I mean, there have been delays and delays and delays. The problem isn't investigating. It's making sure that we have authority to, in a situation such as this, tell that licensee, we need to be assured that you can practice. Go and get an evaluation. If the evaluation comes back that the individual, that the professional evaluator, and again, this isn't the board doing the evaluation. This would be a professional who for a living, investigates or evaluates specific suspected impairments. If that evaluation comes back determining that the licensee is safe to practice, that's the end of that part of the investigation. If the licensee, if there were multiple parts, which there usually are in our complaints, such as bad records, failure to use standard methods and treatments, failure to document things that need to be done, like temperature and weight and things like that, that part of an investigation could continue, but the part that relates to the licensee's competence would be done, because the evaluation would have showed that there is no problem, in that professional's opinion, with the veterinarian continuing to work as a veterinarian.
Mr. Chair, a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about a complaint, now are you talking about a complaint you received about this person's practice of veterinary medicine, or a complaint that this person has charges pending against him for a criminal action in another state?
Senator Avakian, Senator Beyer, in this particular case, the complaint came from certain family members, and it was not about this individual's veterinary practice. It was about, I guess you could say, his moral fitness.
Mr. Chair, another one then?
Yeah, please just go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. So if you were to receive a complaint about this person's medical or veterinary practice, do you have the authority, without this bill, to go in and investigate and determine if the person is fit to practice veterinary medicine by what they are doing in the field of veterinary medicine?
Senator Avakian, Senator Beyer, we do have authority to investigate a complaint against a veterinarian regarding their veterinary practice. But we don't have the authority to determine through an evaluation whether or not the individual is competent to do so, to practice safely without doing harm. Another example I could give you, if I may, is a complaint that we have resolved because the evidence didn't support finding violations for the accusations, but there were 79 different complaints alleging that, among other things, that this individual is not capable of doing surgery because his hands shake. We didn't have the authority to have him evaluated, so we still don't know whether, in fact, he's performing surgeries and potentially harming animals. We were able to find other violations in that complaint, that such as record keeping, not providing follow-up care. But the other thing that is important, I think, for the committee to understand is that when we do this investigation process, it's confidential. And so if we do find that a licensee needs to undergo an evaluation, it would not be out there in the public. It wouldn't be harming anybody's reputation until the board found that they needed to issue some sort of a notice, either to restrict the practice, to stop practicing, to perhaps undergo some kind of therapy or re-education, probably not a good word to use, at continuing education. Am I answering your question?
Well, I think so, but you said you received complaints about another person, not the person who's with charges pending in Washington State, but another veterinarian. You received complaints about their practice of veterinary medicine, and you were not able to investigate thoroughly because you don't have the authority to do about their practice of veterinary medicine. Is that correct?
Senator Avakian, members, Senator Beyer, that is correct. Yes.
Okay, but
in that case, the complaint was directed at his practice of veterinary medicine, but even though it was, we lack the authority to have him have a physical exam to determine whether the neurological disease that he has is preventing him from practicing safely.
This bill would give you that authority.
That's
but
correct.
But it would also give you authority in cases of complaints not related to the practice of veterinary medicine. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Mr. Chair, I guess just as not a question and a statement, if this bill was narrowed to only give them the authority to do psychological analysis or things, investigate complaints that are related to veterinary medicine, I could support it. But this bill is much broader than that. If anyone complains about anything that a veterinarian may be doing in their personal life, this bill, as written, would give them authority to go investigate and order a psychological evaluation of that person, whether or not the issue had anything to do with the practice of veterinary medicine or not. The case in Washington State, we have a, you know, we are innocent until proven guilty in this nation, last time I checked. So just because there are charges pending against someone doesn't mean they should not have the right to practice their profession.
Senator Bates?
Mr. Chair, you know, we don't want to open something up for witch hunts, okay? On the other hand, professionals are held to different standards than the general public is because we can do harm, whether it's physicians or nurses or dentists or veterinarians. And I think what we're talking about here is the board sees a red flag go up that may not be directly and obviously related to the practice of veterinary medicine, but it's a red flag. And they want to have the power to step in and say, we'd like to have you undergo an examination, whether it be physical, mental, or a competency examination, and do it in a way that is confidential. And then you have your findings from that point on. We have a much bigger problem in the medical profession, as you know. Veterinarians have a almost impeccable record in this state and other places, and we're very proud of our veterinarians. I personally support a group of four through my two horses, my two dogs and two cats. So, but that said, I think this bill really, from my point of view, with the Dash 1 amendments, is something I can support. But the board has to be careful with its powers, as the Board of Medical Examiners has to be, and as the Oregon Nurses Association has to watch their board, too. I think there's probably enough oversight of the board, and considering the board is made up of the peers of these veterinarians, that I don't have a great deal of concern here about this. But there is some concern there, and I think that's what Senator Byers is most concerned about. He does not want an overreaching board going on witch hunts after veterinarians who might have something going on in their personal life that is inappropriate, that doesn't really affect their professional life. On the other hand, the board is very concerned about maintaining that professional standard. If a red flag comes up, you want the power to go in and take a look, but do it in a confidential manner. Frankly, if you were a straight state agency, I'd be very concerned. But you're not. You're a board made up of peers of other veterinarians, just as the Board of Medical Examiners is, and that's why I can support this issue for you. I think it's appropriate to have that power, and I think you use it judiciously. And I think if you don't, your own veterinarians will come back and change the board. And I think I saw your eyebrows go up, so I think you know what I'm talking about here. So from my point of view, I can be very supportive of this bill. I understand Senator Byers' concerns, and I'm glad he's got those on the record. He may or may not support the bill, but even if he does now, it's on the record that we don't want you overreaching, and we expect supervision primarily from the other veterinarians in the state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I want to ask you something just to to try and clarify a little bit of what goes on in the board's process with regard to this connection between the complaint and the practice. If a complaint comes in about trouble that somebody's having outside of the practice, does the board's analysis have to in some way connect the potential that difficulty in the private side of their life could likely be having an effect with what they do in their practice, and that potential connection then being the reason for the evaluation? Am I thinking about that right?
Yes, Senator Avakian, what our AG calls it is a nexus. We have to establish that something in the individual's private conduct is of sufficient concern for the board to question whether the judgment that individual, or the lack of judgment that individual is showing in their private life, could bleed into their practice as a veterinarian. And in the Matlock case, it was a very clear, to us and to anybody that looked at that situation, it was a very clear indication that somebody who would let six horses starve almost to death, you have to question whether that person's judgment, that bad judgment, is going to be left at the barn door. And when they go into the practice, they are going to be fully functional and safe and competent.
And if a complaint comes in and the board cannot draw that nexus, what does the board do?
Senator Vaucking and members, in that case, the board would very likely just keep an eye on the situation. And if further allegations or complaints came in, they would continue to look at it, but they wouldn't open a case, and they wouldn't take any action.
Okay.
May I?
If you think you must, that wasn't a bad answer, but go ahead.
I would just, Senator Vaucking and members of the committee, I'd like to thank Senator Beyer for giving me his time the other day for visiting with me and a public member from our board about the situations that he's concerned about, because I'm concerned about the same things. And I'm concerned about, like Senator Bates says, this, the same thing. Yet this has the potential to be broad-reaching as far as powers go, but one issue that we didn't talk about the other day that is surfacing more and more that is a private issue would be something like anger. We deal with that a lot on the board, and if anger comes into the workplace from the home, it affects their ability to practice veterinary medicine. I can guarantee you that.
Chair.
Senator Bates?
The language is pretty clear to me. It's when the board has evidence indicating the incapacity of the applicant or licensee to practice veterinary medicine safely. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. And if the board outsteps its bounds in that, I would expect there to be serious repercussions for the board. And I just don't see them doing this.
And repercussions from this body next time around.
Yeah. From, you know, we get a complaint from a veterinarian, the board's outstepped its bounds. We're going to have to take action.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate. So, but yet giving the board these powers, it's really not only good for, I believe it's not only good for the profession, it's probably good for the individual sometimes.
Yeah.
We've had situations where we've saved physicians from themselves, so to speak, because we worked with them and they were just shoving it under the carpet and things were building and building and building. And being able to sit down with them and say, look, the board knows about this, we've got to work with this, and helping people through that could be very important. We don't want to lose physicians, you don't want to lose veterinarians.
Okay.
May I say one?
No, let's move on. Okay, thanks to you. We have one more person to testify, and that would be Janice Krem. Ms. Krem, whenever you're ready, just state your name for the record, and we've only got a few minutes, but go ahead and give us your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Janice Krem, and I'm apparently a glutton for punishment, but I'm here to tell you that we share some of your concerns that you've expressed today about the ability of agencies to actually weigh appropriately the extent of their authority and to have an understanding of how to ensure that if they've overstepped the powers that they've been given by the legislature, that there's a quick and cheap way to make sure that they take a second look. One of the important things that I think hasn't been addressed during this discussion that is of concern to the administrative law section, which is composed of people who represent private citizens, state agencies, and they are also administrative law judges. One of those issues is that the kind of order that they're talking about here is not the kind of order that you generally think of if you're familiar with administrative law. This is a final order and other than a contested case. So that far before anybody gets to challenge the agency's failure to find a nexus or to have, quote, any evidence that lets them go forth, there's a final order that's issued. It's public record. Final orders in Oregon are public record. And the only way that a person who is being forced to have a mental or physical exam under these provisions has an ability to challenge it would be to go to circuit court. That would happen after the order's issued, and failure to comply with it would now be a new basis for discipline. The administrative law section shares a concern that when the administrator of the agency is telling you that someone's sexual activities in another state that has no nexus, apparently, to their ability to safely practice veterinary medicine is a basis for them promulgating this particular bill for your consideration, it sort of, I think, underlines the concerns of the administrative law section that there be a cheap and inexpensive way to make sure that the agency takes a second look, because rather than come back later and have negative complaints about an agency, the section's balanced approach would be to say, when you pass this bill, make it easy and quick for the agency and a person being affected to have some kind of a quick, cheap review. And as a former administrative law judge, I can assure you that administrative hearings, contested cases, which is what we recommend as a section, can be handled by telephone. And they are incredibly inexpensive. I think you will see, I won't take up more of your time since I'm sure you'd like to move on, but I would point out, if you look at the materials that I've provided for you, that the average case, a contested case hearing that's referred to the Office of Administrative Hearings, which would hear these cases, is like $300 and some. So a telephone hearing for a very little amount of money would ensure that the kinds of concerns that I think were raised by the testimony of the agency today could be quickly resolved. And it wouldn't prevent the agencies from being able to exercise authority. But if you have the experience I have, which is to know that agencies do make mistakes, they aren't perfect, and it's better to have them give an opportunity early in their process to fix it rather than have somebody in a custody case later or a divorce have on file that there was an order from a state agency requiring you, Mr. or Ms. Veterinarian, to have a mental exam. It's public record. Final orders are public records. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Graham. Any questions, committee? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 134, open up work session on Senate Bill 134, and if Senator Bates, you can give me a motion on the dash ones.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd move the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 134.
Senator Bates moves the dash one amendments. Committee, is there any discussion? I would only, well, I'll save mine for the bill itself. Are there any objections? No objections. Then the dash ones are adopted. And Senator Bates?
Chair, I move that Senate Bill 134 with the dash one amendments be moved forward with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bates moves the Senate Bill 134 as amended with the due pass. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Byer.
I think everyone knows already by what I've already said that I don't support this bill as it's drafted. But I'd also like to point out for the committees, we've been focusing on the discussion upon complaints received by the board and give them the authority to investigate those complaints. But I'd also like to point out this board can act on its own initiative. It does not need a complaint to go out and order a psychological evaluation. So I guess that increases my concern of a potential witch hunt. And this current board, this current administrator may never do that, but we don't know what's going to happen in the future. So, I mean, this is I understand that by the testimony that other licensing board, professional licensing boards may already have this authority to do what's asked for here, but those other licensing boards are also operating on humans, not animals. So I don't support the bill as drafted. I wish they would narrow the bill to limit it to the practice of veterinary medicine, because then I think it would be appropriate.
Duly heard, Mr. Chair. And I will not take more of the time of the committee to give my position on this. I've already given it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Atkinson. Were you done, Senator Bates?
Yes.
Senator Atkinson.
I am not going to object to this bill. I'm going to be against it on the floor. I do not want to hear this bill again. I do not want to hear anything about this bill again. I do not want to be lobbied on this bill again or the bill that we heard before, the geologist bill. So I think that I can see both sides of it, but our job here is not to do agency bills.
Appreciate that. And just so that I'm not the only one left out of putting something on the record, I suppose, I actually appreciate the comments on both sides of the bill very much. These are some of the stickier issues with these with these boards and commissions, but my analysis leads me this way, that at the heart of it, these are really consumer protection agencies, and everything they do is to protect the public, whether it be, you know, the, you know, in many ways it's to protect the animal from harm, but you also have owners of animals that have a great investment financially and emotionally in the animal. And everything this board does is to be geared towards protecting the public. And most of the time when we do that, we give as broad powers as possible to ensure that that happens, but happens in a fair way. And because the language with the amendments is consistent with what we do with nearly every other board or commission that we have, it seems appropriate to me. It also seems appropriate to me that at some point there be a broader discussion about some of the things that Ms. Krim brought up and that Senator Beyer brings up about whether or not we want state officials to have that kind of broad power. But that, I think, is a discussion for another time, since it applies to more than just this particular bill. With that, any objections?
Yes.
And noted as Senator Atkinson not objecting, but qualifying that with a no vote on the floor. But I appreciate, since we're short a member, you doing that, Senator Atkinson. And with that, Senate Bill 134 passes, and the chair will carry the bill. And with that, I close the work session on 134, and we're adjourned.
Mercy.